live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, an army of contract tracers bigger than the Irish Army would be needed to get through the current backlog, according to Tánaiste Leo Varadkar. The HSE says it's built its testing capacity up to 126,000 tests per week, but its CEO says extra capacity won't drive numbers down. That, he says, is down to the behaviour of people. We'll hear from the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital, who says they're seeing a steady increase of COVID patients and it's having an impact on elective surgery. And a Donegal GP says it's down to people and what they do and how they behave. We'll hear from Dr. Paul Armstrong. All of this discussion, of course, coming as we await Donegal, Cavan and Monaghan's entry into level 4 restrictions as of midnight tonight. Later in the bulletin, we'll have, of course, sports news with Kenny Harkin. And it being a Thursday, we'll have farming news and reviews with Chris Ashmore. All that's coming up. But we begin with the comments of the Tánaiste this evening that an army of contact tracers bigger than the Irish Army would be needed to get through the current COVID-19 test backlog. The contact tracing system has been criticised in the Dáil as part of the reason enhanced restrictions are needed. Level 4 restrictions coming into place in Donegal, Cavan and Monaghan from midnight, and an enhanced level 3 restriction operating then in every other county in the country. Well, in the Dáil this afternoon, the Tánaiste Leo Varadkar rejected criticism of the contact tracing system that's in place.
And the best thing we can do for them is to follow the public health advice. If we're going to have a couple of hundred or 1,000 positives a day and everyone has 6 or 7 contacts, that's 7,000 people a day who have to be contact traced. You would need an army of people, probably an army bigger than our army, to trace that many people every day.
Well, the HSE has built its testing capacity to up to 126,000 tests per week. Over 99,000 were completed over the course of the last 7 days. It comes as hospitals say they're anxious about what possibly lies ahead. The hospitals in Letterkenny, Cavan and Cork said to be under particular pressure. HSE CEO Paul Reid says it's not extra capacity that will drive case numbers down. That, he says, is down to the behaviour of people.
So we really have to put a big urgency behind our big line of defence, which is the public. That's the one that can turn this trend around. More testing capacity, more ICU beds, more hospital beds doesn't turn the trend around. Public engagement, public support, public compliance with the measures is what turns this around.
The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says they're seeing a steady increase in COVID patients at the hospital and measures are being taken to ensure that intensive care is adequately staffed and operational. Latest data shows there are currently 16 people with COVID-19 being treated at Letterkenny University Hospital, 2 of them in critical care. Escalation plans have been implemented and in order to sustain that, staff are being sourced from other departments. Manager Sean Murphy says this means some elective surgery at the hospital is being deferred.
We have been recruiting throughout, but there are, again, recruitment is a slow process. There are limited numbers of nursing staff and particularly critical care nursing staff out there to recruit. The plans we had in place and the escalation plans, those escalation plans are clearly in place and that's what we've implemented in the last week. In order to sustain that at this level, we are going to have to divert some of the staff that we have in other areas into support that critical care, that ICU and high dependency function. In order to do that, we're going to have to curtail some of our elective surgeries. We're not back where we were in March, we're not, but we will be seeing a significant reduction in our inpatient lists.
And that was Sean Murphy, the general manager at Letterkenny University Hospital. Well, a Donegal GP says the living with COVID plan is about trying to control people's behaviour, and he's been seeing worrying trends developing in the county in terms of some not adhering to guidelines. Dr. Paul Armstrong, who is also clinical lead of the COVID hub in Letterkenny, says the reality is a lot of people have not changed their behaviour to tackle the virus head on, and that is why it's spreading. Dr. Armstrong says a significant cross-border element was detected at the start of the most recent spike of cases in Donegal.
The levels are decisions the government make to try and control behaviour. This call comes back to behaviour. The reality is that a lot of people haven't changed their behaviour. Now, an awful lot of us have and are doing our very best with all the measures that are repeated, I know, as a mantra. But a lot of people are not doing that. They don't believe in it. They think it's a hoax. They are congregating and meeting and sitting together and very closely and socialising together, and that unfortunately is feeding the spread of the virus. We feel that there was a significant cross-border element in it from the very start, from the early 10th, 12th of September. That was picked up very quickly in Donegal. I'm not so sure it was responded to as quickly in the north. And to this day, the cases that have been reported in the north are an under-reporting. So they have there's a very significant problem there. And there's a very significant problem for us too, in that people are getting sicker. In the early days, I said to you, we felt it was mainly the younger people, and maybe this time we'd be lucky and it wouldn't affect the more vulnerable. But unfortunately, that hasn't happened. They are filtering through into the hospital. The Kilkenny Hospital is under pressure. Our intensive care beds are under pressure. And that's the hub of the whole thing. The widespread spreading of the virus is capable of crippling our health service.
And that's Dr. Paul Armstrong there speaking to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show earlier today. Well, Councillor Nicholas Crossan believes the decision to move Donegal to level 4 was the right one. 29 new confirmed cases were recorded in the county yesterday, with Donegal reporting slightly lower numbers in recent days compared with last week. But Councillor Crossan says we still have a long way to go to get back to the lower levels seen over the summer. He says the government is doing the best it can in the circumstances and says it's everyone's responsibility to help curb the spread of COVID-19.
Yes, I do think that they made the right decision, because while we're not getting back, their numbers are coming down again, but we're not back to what were June, July and August, Greg, and that's really where we want to be. And I think we're still at a learning curve in this pandemic and this virus. We 6 months ago, we were looking to Italy and Spain and various other countries who were a few weeks ahead of us to help us out on this here. I think that the NFET is doing a great job. I think the government is doing the best they can in the circumstances. I think that it's a responsibility that each of us must share. We must take a look at the should I take a responsibility going out and go down to a pub tonight and sitting in? That's a responsibility that I must take. Or will I sit in my own house? Can I go out for a walk around the shore? These are the things that everybody must weigh up. There are people sitting here today, and it was touched on, senior citizens, the people who are on their own, that can't get out of the house, that don't see people from one end of the week to the other. For the benefit of those people, I think that's what we should do, take a bit of responsibility.
Well, one of the consequences of Donegal going to level 4 tonight could be job losses. There are several potential job losses in the county with the closure of some businesses, and that was raised in the Dáil this afternoon by Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty. He said the reduction of the pandemic unemployment payment in recent weeks was regrettable, and he urged Taoiseach Leo Varadkar to ensure that that cut is now reversed.
When Donegal went into level 3, it's seen a surge of claimants for the pandemic unemployment payment. It went up by one third in that county. Level 4 restrictions will mean that other people will lose their jobs, not only in Donegal but in Cavan, Monaghan. And as you say, this virus isn't unique to those counties. Others may follow the course of action that we've seen for those three counties. The average wage for people who are now availing of the pandemic unemployment payment at a rate of €300 was €560. Taoiseach, you've cut that support at a time when restrictions that are being introduced by government, which results in people losing their job, there's a responsibility in government to actually support that income.
Well, responding, Leo Varadkar said in order to extend the supports into 2021, difficult decisions had to be made. He said Deputy Doherty was speaking as though Sinn Féin has no experience of government. He urged him to look across the border.
When I hear the Deputy speak, I often hear he speaks as though his party had no experience of government on this island. We've a Sinn Féin finance minister north of the border in the six counties, as you describe it, the Sinn Féin welfare minister. The income support being provided to people north of the border is about £100 a week under universal credit, much less than here. Now, I appreciate you don't control the chequebook, but you do have autonomy. And you could take money from other areas and put it into an increase in universal credit. But taking everything into account, operating in the limitations that you do, you decided not to.
Well, as Donegal, Cavan and Monaghan move to level four this evening, people who need to do so are being urged to apply for welfare services online due to the restrictions which come into effect at midnight. The opening hours of Intro offices are being reduced. Minister Heather Humphreys is urging people to apply for the pandemic unemployment payment or job seekers payment at mywelfare.ie rather than making an unnecessary visit in person to their Intro centre or social welfare branch office. You can read the minister's entire statement online on our website, highlandradio.com. North of the border, 763 people have tested positive for COVID-19 over the course of the past 24 hours. Four more COVID-19 deaths reported. There have been an average of 913 cases a day now for a week. Over a quarter of all Northern Ireland's cases have taken place in the past 7 days. Its total number of cases stands at 23,878, with 606 COVID-related deaths. One of the country's teaching unions is calling for an audit of schools in Donegal, Cavan and Monaghan after the counties were upgraded to level four. The Teachers Union of Ireland says the review of resources needs to be carried out to ensure every building is following public health guidance. It also wants clarity on what would happen if the country or individual counties have to move to level five of the Living with COVID-19 plan. Other news, and the President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, left an EU leaders' summit after one of her staff tested positive for COVID-19 this afternoon. Ms. von der Leyen tested negative, but left the meeting as a precaution in order to go into self-isolation. Speaking just before the meeting got underway, Ursula von der Leyen said progress has been made in Brexit talks with the UK, but she said two key issues have yet to be resolved.
The issue, the question of the fisheries, and this is a crucial question for thousands of fishermen and fisherwomen. And the second topic is the question of a level playing field, which is crucial, a question of fairness for our companies and businesses in the European Union.
Well, as he entered the meeting this afternoon, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin echoed the importance of fisheries and said a sensible and fair fisheries deal will be crucial to any progress. Industrial action planned for later this month by school secretaries has been deferred. The Force Union has accepted an invitation from the Workplace Relations Commission to attend fresh negotiations with the Department of Education. The ongoing row is over differences in pay and working conditions, depending on whether or not they're employed by the department. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Simon Coveney, has told the Oireachtas Committee on the Implementation of the Good Friday Agreement that supporting North-South transport links is a very practical expression of cross-border cooperation. He said the government remains committed to the A5 upgrade and is also committed to other major infrastructural projects. Minister Coveney acknowledged there may be scope for the North West to benefit from a planned high-speed rail link.
Belfast, Dublin, Cork, with the possibility of spurs to Limerick and Galway. I know there's been a case made obviously from Derry as well to link into that project. We want to see cross-border greenways and cycleways develop, and we're willing to pay for that, which again I think is about connectivity, normality, relationships, which is really in a practical sense what North-South cooperation is all about.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and a Gaelic Players Association survey is asking inter-county stars if they want the Allianz National Hurling and Football Leagues and Championships to go ahead as planned. The representative body is posing the question directly to the players in a survey, with the results expected tomorrow. Meanwhile, Minister Simon Coveney has said he has worries for the GA ahead of the resumption of the inter-county action this weekend. There are COVID-19 outbreaks in a number of county panels, including the Wexford Hurlers and Fermanagh footballers. And the GAA CCCC last night rejected Fermanagh's request to postpone their National League game with Clare. The Erin County had seen 10 players contract COVID-19, while 7 others were close contacts. Meanwhile, the CCC also rejected Longford's plea for their Division 3 league match against Derry on Saturday afternoon to be moved from Celtic Park. The request was based on the high level of COVID-19 cases in the Derry City and Strabane Council area. Derry manager Rory Gallagher was expecting that decision.
No, not at all. Actually, listen, we fully expected the game to be in Celtic Park. I think we personally, you know, wouldn't feel that the Derry County Board or Standard Council would fix the game if they thought there was any danger to any players, whether they be from Derry or Longford. So we're delighted to get the go-ahead, because obviously that's where we play our championship match as well.
There's more from Rory Gallagher on the score this evening with Oisin Kelly. Also on the programme, Donegal manager Declan Boner and former Tyrone star John Lynch, they look ahead to Donegal against Tyrone in the Division 1 league encounter this Sunday. Michael McMullen casts his eye on the Division 2B hurling final between Derry and Down, and Tyrone they're back in the under-20 All-Ireland football semi-final. Paul Devlin talks about their restriction preparations after a 7-month break. That's the score tonight just after the 7 o'clock news. Another Gaelic Games news, the Leinster Council also confirmed that all four fixtures in this year's Senior Hurling Championship will take place in Croke Park. It starts with the quarter-final meeting of Dublin and Laois on Saturday 24th of October with a throw-in of 6 o'clock. Both semi-finals will form a double-header at Croke Park on October the 31st, with Dublin or Laois taking on Kilkenny and Wexford facing Galway. The final will take place on November the 14th. Moving on to soccer, and Shamrock Rovers have confirmed that Aaron Green has tested positive for COVID-19. They've also revealed that Jack Byrne tested positive while on Republic of Ireland duty on Sunday. Several other players are also isolating, having been deemed close contacts of Green's. Rovers are due to welcome Derry City to Talla Stadium tomorrow night. They're also due to play Fun Harps on Monday evening in Fun Park, but the FAI say they will now review the remaining fixtures. Elsewhere up in Scotland, St Mirren, they'll be without three players for their Scottish Premiership game against Motherwell on Saturday because of the coronavirus. Two have tested positive for COVID-19. And the SPFL's chief executive, Neil Doncaster, has echoed First Minister Nicola Sturgeon's calls for fans to respect coronavirus rules. Rangers and Celtic meet in the Scottish Premiership on Saturday, but pubs in Glasgow are closed while household gatherings are limited to a maximum of six. Doncaster reiterated that travelling outside of the Central Belt is a breach of the rules and urged supporters not to gather in large groups. Meanwhile, in England, Arsene Wenger, he fears for the future of English football unless more money is given to the lower leagues by the top flight. Premier League clubs unanimously rejected the Project Big Picture plans, but have agreed to work towards a restructure of the game. The former Arsenal boss believes there are too many professional teams in England.
The smaller clubs in the country have more problems to survive. Maybe you have to reduce the number of professional clubs because there's not enough income anymore for them. And maybe the second decision is to share a bit better what is coming into the elite with the other clubs.
In rugby, Ian Henderson, he'll miss Ireland's remaining two games in the Six Nations. The Ulster forward has been banned for 3 weeks as a result of a red card he received in the Pro 14 win away at Ospreys. Henderson was originally handed a 6-week suspension, but saw that halved due to his previous record. He'll be available again in time for the first Autumn Nations Cup game with Wales. And Ireland out-half Johnny Sexton is one of 8 players in contention for the World Rugby Player of the Decade Award. The Leinster player was the Association's Player of the Year in 2018. The list features 5 All Blacks in total, with double World Cup winning captain Richie McCaw, Dan Carter, Kieran Reid, Brody Retallick and Bowden Barrett. South Africa's Peter Steph Dutoit and former French captain Thierry Dussatois. They're all nominated. In golf, Patrick Harrington's made a promising start to the Scottish Championship at Fairmount St Andrews. He's 4 shots off the lead. He's on 6 under par. He shot a 66. Jonathan Caldwell is currently 2 under par. Cormac Sharvin's level par. Gavin Moynihan, he's finished on level par. Spain's Adrian Otegi, he leads after shooting a 10 under par round of 62. Finally for this evening, in snooker in the English Open, there was wins today for Kieran Wilson, Jing Dunhui, Barry Hawkins, Mark Selby, John Higgins and Judd Trump. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. And don't forget, the score with Oisin Kelly comes up after the 7 o'clock news this evening. And there's more sport here tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. And now, it being a Thursday night, it's time for Farming News and Views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. The protected geographical indication application for Irish grass-fed beef is continuing to cause controversy within the agriculture industry, particularly within the suckler farming sector. Well, Dermot O'Brien is a member of the Beef Plan movement and indeed national spokesperson and is serving on the Beef Market Task Force. He's certainly had good contacts with the Donegal farming community in recent times on this issue, and he joined me today to discuss what is happening. First of all, Dermot, just to explain to people, this PGI status, essentially it's a European-driven phenomenon. It's an intellectual property right, and we are familiar with things like Connemara, Hill Lam, Irish Whiskey, etc. So this is a broadening of it. On the surface of things, you would think Irish grass-fed beef, there would be many advantages, but obviously it's a little bit more complicated.
That's correct. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Chris, for having me on your programme. The PGI application, first of all, we had a beef sector agreement last year, agreed on the 15th September, and the beef sector agreement was part of the negotiations that took place after the protests, the factory gate protests had ended. So as part of that agreement, there was a facility for a PGI application for Irish grass-fed beef. So for the past number of months, all farm organisations, the main farm organisations, along with the meat processors, Board BH, Argusgan ICBF, along with the Department of Agriculture, have been locked in discussions via the task force and as recent as last Friday in bilaterals to try and submit this PGI application for Irish grass-fed beef to the EU Commission. Now, the Beef Plan movement has considered the application. We have examined it from start to finish. The application consists of two documents, a single paper and a product specification. And we felt that the beef farmers in this country, particularly our members, have not had adequate consultation on the matter. Board Beer have circulated a newsletter to 52,000 of their quality assured members. We have also read that letter, which was agreed at the task force, which was to inform those farmers of what the PGI application meant, what it consisted of, and what it would bring to them. So, unfortunately, the Beef Plan movement feels that the PGI has been adequately addressed. So, what a PGI is, it's an application to register a niche product in the market. So, you mentioned there about certain whiskies, you have Parma ham, Achill lamb, and this is basically if a product is being sold and is recognised in the market as having certain qualities and a certain specification, then the EU Commission will grant that status. And it is supposed to give the producer an added advantage in the marketplace. We feel that this PGI application for Irish grass-fed beef at the moment is not defining a gain or a bonus or a premium for the producer. So producers historically feel that, you know, they haven't received anything additional or anything extra over the past 9 or 10 years for the product that they produce on their farm. And we have spoken about this time and time again about the costs of production that are involved in producing a kilo of beef. Today, farmers are still not meeting those costs of production. And if this PGI status is to be a success for those producers, then it will, in clear terms, deliver a bonus to them. So this is another point of contention that we have tried to iron out. We were asking Board Beer and the processors if they could define what bonus, what potential bonus, or otherwise this will bring to the farmers, and we can't get a straight answer on this.
Is there any time pressure to get this through?
It seems to us that there's an urgency to have this application submitted to the EU Commission. Now, we have a wonderful product being produced in this country. We have the correct climate. We have great grass growth. And a grass-fed product will sell in the open market because of its health benefits. The labelling of the product and the package which surrounds the beef product normally hosts a farmer in a field of green grass with prize prying beef cattle in the background. So the scientific analysis of that product should show a very high level of omega-3 as opposed to omega-6. But in the product specification for Irish grass-fed beef in its current format, what we have is a facility to feed meal. Now, the feed meal is okay because Irish farmers, by and large, would agree that, yes, we have to feed meal to finish this animal, to bring it to an acceptable level, to bring it to the processor for slaughter. But, you know, there is nothing wrong with finishing an animal on grass, provided that animal is allowed to grow on the farm. So historically and traditionally on our farms in Ireland, and we can go back now maybe 25 years ago even, where animals were allowed to mature and grow, but today farmers are controlled in what they do on their farm. They're controlled to specific age limits for bullocks and heifers, and that age, that maximum upper age limit is 30 months. So 30 months, in our view, is anti-competitive. There isn't enough scientific backup in the PGI application for grass-fed beef. You need to be able to prove what the product is. Customers need to know that what's in this package is exactly what it says on the pack. So wider consultation among stakeholders in the beef industry, that includes not alone quality-assured farmers. It also must include the other farmers that are not part of a quality assured program, and that leads to about 80,000 farmers in this country that are involved in producing beef in some shape or form. If you consult any farmer in a mart today or on the street, and if you ask them what do they know about the Bord Béal grass-fed application for a PGI application for grass-fed beef, most of them have no idea in the world what you're talking about.
Moving forward, taking on board all the statements that have come in and the different views from the various stakeholders, how do you see this progressing over the next few weeks?
What's happening now, as we see it, is that all the farm organisations and all the stakeholders have retreated momentarily to try and find a way forward here in order to improve the product specification. Now, we certainly want that product specification to address ownership of the PGI, and that involves farmers. You must have buy-in from farmers. There must be a clearly defined gain, bonus, premium. What's the way forward? Negotiation, explanation, consultation with the 80,000 herd owners in this country. We certainly need to deliver for our farmers, who are an important cog in each rural community, from Donegal down to Wexford, over to Kerry and up to Monaghan.
And that was Dermot O'Brien, a member of the Beef Market Task Force. In other news, the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell-Logue, has provided further details of his department's budget for 2021, and specifically the new environmental initiatives. The Minister confirmed that his department is extending existing rural development programme schemes, including areas of natural constraints, the Green Low Carbon Agri-Environmental Scheme, the Beef Data and Genomics Programme, and the Sheep Welfare Scheme. Also getting further support is the organic farming scheme, the targeted advisor service for animal health, and funding for GLOS traditional farm buildings and collaborative farming. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, Goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Let's take a look at the weather forecast before we go. It'll be dry into this evening, but chilly tonight with long clear spells. Some isolated showers, though, in highest temperatures of 1 to 5 degrees Celsius. Light easterly or variable breezes with mist and fog patches developing. A light grass frost will be possible in inland spots overnight. A bright start tomorrow morning with any mist or fog patches clearing. Sunny spells and well-scattered showers through the day tomorrow in highest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees Celsius in mainly light easterly breezes. Looking at the headlines, and an army of contract tracers bigger than the Irish Army would be needed to get through the current backlog, according to the tonnage to the contract tracing system, has been criticised in the Dáil as part of the reason enhanced restrictions are needed. Level 4 comes into place in Donegal, Cavan and Monaghan from midnight. An advanced and enhanced Level 3 restriction will operate in every other county. The HSE says it's building up its testing capacity to up to 126,000 tests per week. Over 99,000 tests completed over the course of the past 7 days. Hospitals say they're anxious about what lies ahead. Letterkenny, Cavan and Cork said to be under particular pressure. The CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid, says it's not extra capacity that will drive case numbers down, though. He said that is down to the behaviour of people. We're back with headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 15th of October. The death has occurred of John Murphy, formerly of Carrick Castle Finn. John's remains are reposing at his son and daughter-in-law Sean Paul and Daniela Murphy's home at Drumbane Castle Finn. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 25 past 10 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church Castle Finn, followed by interment in St Mary's Cemetery Castle Finn. Due to HSE and the government restrictions, the house mass and interment are strictly private to immediate family only, please. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Rose Early Ne O'Donnell, 27 Windmill View, Glencar, Letterkenny, formerly of Aranmore Island. Funeral leaving her late residence on Saturday morning at 11:30 to St Eunan's Cathedral for funeral mass at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment will be private to immediate family only, please. The death has taken place of Hugh McGonigal, care O'Doherty Avenue, Buncrana. Hugh's Requiem Mass will take place on Saturday at 10 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and the government guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private to immediate family only, please. Hugh's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cockhill. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to ICUB Surgical 2 at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Mary Heacon, née Breslin, Larg Nasira, Ardra. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:15 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for funeral mass at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to motor neuron disease, care of Derek McCabe, funeral director, Ardra. The death has occurred in Doncaster, England, of Tony Keady Boyle, Doncaster, formerly of Aranmore Island. His remains will arrive tomorrow, travelling on the 3 o'clock ferry from Burtonport to St Crone's Church, Aranmore, where he'll repose overnight. Funeral mass on Saturday at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass will be streamed live from St Crone's Church, Aranmore, via YouTube. Due to government and HSE guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please. The death has occurred of Dennis Collins, Coeur Point, Litchimacka Ward. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Bridget's Church, Litchimacka Ward, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. The death has occurred in England of Bridget Breege, Mary Dugan, England, and formerly of Gortnafad, Kincashla. Her remains will arrive at St Mary's Church, Kincashla, tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock with interment afterwards in Belcritch Cemetery. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. And the death has occurred of Kathleen Connolly, née McGrath, late of Parkview House care home Castledurg, formerly of Dromore. Kathleen's remains are en route to St Dovok's Church, Dromore, to repose overnight. Requiem mass there tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to government restrictions, the house mass and interment are private to immediate family only, please. Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam.